This is Michael Gannett with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And I want to start off, as I always do and have for almost the past 2 years, thank all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. Wow, this country is number one, Iris Burrell, in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that it does around the world. It is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, the United States is not number one. Europe is not number one. Russia is not number one. China is not number one. The whole of the Muslim world is not number one. Japan, all these countries, don't matter. The United States doesn't matter. Listen, those of you who got your ego in the United States, the red, white, and blue, God, country, apple pie, and baseball, those things are out the window, ladies and gentlemen. Our country's changed. And we who believe in the Constitution, Judeo-Christian founded it, and the Bill of Rights, do not change with it. We fight against the tide that be. So I want to thank, in that fight, Insight, America's Web Radio, for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. It's time to fight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if it's our government or our politicians or even, God forbid, our military that's used as pawns to fund, arm, and train Muslims all around the world to call for the death of the Jewish state. This is no longer about a country. This is about a kingdom. Thank you, America's Web Radio, for what you do and telling the truth about the greatness of the Jewish people and the Jewish state after 2,000 years of no homeland. Nothing else matters. The United States, let me say this, get off your high horse, right-wingers. You think this thing's going to come, it's going to turn around? It is not going to turn around. It's time to focus on Israel and stand with them. Because if it weren't for the Jewish people receiving Torah from Hashem, I would not have a constitution or a Bill of Rights. We owe them to fight, to help them fight for their sovereignty and security. With that being said, I want to say thank you to everyone who is a participator and not a spectator in Hershey's for Heroes. If you have not seen Hershey's for Heroes and you're listening to this radio show for the first time, you can go to the Facebook page and see where Americans are sending notes, putting notes on Hershey's chocolate bars. We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. To the Israeli soldiers who fight for freedom every day. You think you fight for freedom? You don't know nothing as an American. You need to get off your high horse. These people fight for freedom every single day. They have no choice. They stand against Islam, period. That is the problem. Every Muslim is a threat to your freedom, your God-given freedom as an American and as an individual. Hershey's for Heroes is exciting, Iris Burrell.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I'm telling you, it changed the morale of a soldier when they see that support from Americans. I've had 18-year-old kids look at me. These are not kids. These are men. These are women. Far more greater than our American kids who have no responsibility, who we've left them nothing to fight for in the United States because we've lost our principles. But I'll tell you, there's some great Americans out there, and let me name a few of them. Besides all of those that you'll find on Hershey's for Heroes on the Facebook page, that are participators, not spectators, who don't talk about standing for what's right, who actually do it. I want to thank Adam Corbett, and I'm going to find it here. I want to thank Adam Corbett, who organized, who saw Hershey's for Heroes. I talked to him for an hour on the phone the other night. Adam's from Atkinson, North Carolina, Atkinson Baptist Church. Adam, we talked for an hour. That kid loved it. He's like, I didn't realize the direct link and the tie between the Jewish people and Christianity. I just thought, you know, hey, here's the Bible. This is what it says. And that was it. He didn't understand that this country is on the front lines when it comes to freedom. He didn't truly understand that our founding principles came from the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Mosaic Law. This kid's a Christian. He's a good kid. He's in his 30s. I say he's a kid. He's a man. He's got a child, a wife. And he said, wow, Michael, you've opened my eyes to some things that I never was even taught in my church. Now, his pastor currently expresses the importance of standing with Israel. But growing up, no one ever told him. This kid is now, I say this kid, I'm sorry, I apologize, Adam, if you're listening to the radio show. Adam now is formulating, planning a 5K run to make, to raise awareness for the Israeli soldiers to collect Hershey's for Heroes.
Wow.
I just got the email just like 5 minutes ago.
Wow, that's amazing. What an honor.
Wow. Hey, some folks, listen. Some folks talk, other folks run 5K.
Some people talk, some people walk.
Yeah, but Adam and his group, they're running 5K to raise awareness about Hershey's for Heroes and the stand these soldiers take for freedom every single day. America, we're blessed. We don't know what it is to fight. Our soldiers do, but they fight in foreign lands. We're not threatened by anything. You think you're big and strong and tough? You think you're really American? Then send Hershey's for Heroes.
I must say, when Michael is like going to the, on the bus, and he meets a lot of soldiers on the bus, then he just take the Hershey's and give them a speech about Hershey's for Heroes and inside to Israel.
And how all, much Americans love
them. Yeah, and they hold their, and they all are all their capture audience, I must say. But you have to see the look on the faces of those soldiers. They are shocked to see such a devoted American that's supporting so much the Israel and the soldiers. And they are really, really encouraged by it. And they don't believe that they are Americans that support the Israel and the soldiers.
Right.
And I must say that Michael is a great ambassador to the Americans and a great supporter of the Israelis.
Thank you, Iris. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, I want to say publicly, Iris has been a huge help to the work here. You've heard her on the radio show before. There's things that she does. She keeps up with the news. She tracks the media. She sends me stuff when I'm out in the field to keep me updated about what's going on maybe in my area, such as being in the north this past week for the second time. And we're going to talk about that here real quick. Let me say, America, like it or not, time to get your head out of the ground. We're at war with Islam. If they're not attacking us politically or using our freedom of religion against us, or 32 Muslim training camps in the United States, they're going to attack you militarily. All the Muslims work together. There's two different tribes, but they work together. So we're going to start off here. 2 weeks ago, this upcoming Sunday, when you're hearing this radio show, Israel was monitoring the Syrian border, and they picked up on a phone conversation from an Iranian national. This Iranian national was with the leaders of Hezbollah. Now, we're on the Syrian border. Hezbollah is in Lebanon. And that shows you how serious this situation is. They're going from Lebanon on into Syria. They're looking to expand the borders, the war front, against Israel, from Lebanon into Syria, to expand the place of attack.
With the Iranians.
With Iranians involved. And this, God bless it. This is a miracle. Look, these people are not stupid. They're very calculated, very well trained. This is Islam, ladies and gentlemen. If you think these are just Muslims, stupid Muslims, you are a fool. And I say that. My mother's going to hear that and get upset with me. Anyway, so they they were along the Syrian-Israeli border. Israel picked up on this phone call and found out who these guys were. And they went. It was the general of Hezbollah, whose father was actually killed a couple years ago by Israel because he was threatening Israel and planning attacks. Now here's his son who thinks, you think this fella, now this is where stupidity comes in. You think the son would have learned by daddy dying. You can't mess with this country. These people fight every day. So Israel picked up on this. This general from Hezbollah with the Iranian nationals, planning to expand the front, the war front with Israel.
Yes. And they were just planning to take out a terror attack just right away.
Like it was,
right
they were going to do it as soon as possible.
Yeah, right away.
And so Israel found out and sent their helicopters in and blew these guys up and killed every one of them.
Yes, and among them was a very senior commander of Iran. And for Iran, is a very...
That was a huge blow to their ego, their Islamic
exactly,
ego.
Exactly. So since then, Israel knew that there's going to be a response, and since then, Iran and Hezbollah were keeping threatening they are going to revenge. But
so they increased the buildup of troops. Now let me say this, Iris. Let me say this. I've been predicting since the end of Sukhothai that your next fight is going to be up in the north.
You're right.
And just, you know, this
although everybody told you, no, Hezbollah are involved with the war in Syria.
Right.
I don't want to mess with your heart. Now, in reality,
I had a guy that's a friend of ours that works in intelligence.
Yes.
And he said, no, never happened. Never going to happen. And I kept telling him, I said, you watch. And now, there's three things you have to know. If you want to know your enemy, I know the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah. I've studied it. I know history, so I know Iran better than I know my mother, and I love my mother. But I know history, I know Islam, and I know the Bible. And it's when you know those three things, I think the Mossad ought to be coming to me and asking me what's going to happen next. So... they struck these guys. For months, there's been a buildup of troops in the north. I've talked to soldiers. I've got a good relationship with the army. And so after this happens on a Sunday, on the 18th, I woke up the next morning. I said, okay, it's time to go to the north.
Right.
So I go to the city that is closest on the border.
With Lebanon,
called Kiryat Shmona.
Yeah, it's a major city there in the north that got a lot of rockets.
During the second Lebanon War, I think we talked about that. But anyway, so I go up to Kiryat Shmona. You never know what to expect when you go up there. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't have no contacts up there because most of my time is spent in the center and in the south.
And then you went to the soldier's house.
So what I did was I went to Kiryat Shmona. It was late. It's about a four-hour bus ride.
Right.
It's a hard bus ride.
Right.
And right now it's cold and snowy up there. You're near Mount Hermon. Get a map. Americans, keep a map. If you're going to watch and pay attention to Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes, keep a map by your side. So I went to Kiryat Shmona, which always historically has always received the brunt of rockets from Hezbollah in Lebanon. So I go up there, and Iris tells me, okay, Michael, it's late. You need to bed down. So I go and get a room. And I stop at a local soldier house. And I handed out Hershey's for Heroes. And I tell you, those soldiers loved it. They were amazed at the message. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get past Hershey's for Heroes. This is the only grassroots message directly from Americans with a personal name and face that the soldiers can find, and it all comes from Facebook to the soldiers. They can go and look up these folks' name on Facebook. They're actually becoming friends with them on Facebook, and now those people are sending packages to certain soldiers.
Wow.
Because they look at the pictures, the soldiers, the people that send the chocolate bar, see the soldier's name with their chocolate bar in their hand, with their note,
right,
and it connects them. So these soldiers were grateful. I had a guy behind the desk at this soldier house. And he's like, wow. He said, it's amazing to see the response these soldiers. So anyway, I go to the soldier house, make some soldiers happy, encourage them, tell them that we're grateful for their fight against Islam. They love it. Then the next morning I get up and I'm going to the kibbutz, which is right over the border of Syria, where the Israeli soldiers made that strike against Hezbollah.
The kibbutz is Enzivan.
Enzivan. So I go to Enzivan, and you know what? Listen, these people have had the leftist media up there. Look, this is new territory for anyone that wants to tell the truth about this country, and I'll tell you why. This is about forming relationships. I go to Enzivan, and I talk to the head of security. It was by accident that I actually found him. I didn't ask for the head of security, but I met his wife, and I told her what I do, and she was in shock. She's like, really? You tell the truth? That's the first question. When I tell them I tell the truth about the Jewish state that the leftist media in Islam doesn't tell, she's like, what's your version of the truth? That is a constant constant question I hear all over this country. What's your version of the truth, Michael? So when I tell her, and I tell her that I'm a Christian, and that we will stand and fight with you against every foe of Islam and the leftist media and global governance, they're in shock.
Because they are used to the leftist media from all over the world to be there, so they don't believe there is American media that is supporting them, actually.
Well, there's actually only one American media. No, I don't want to say one, but I'm a small guy. But I reach out to the grassroots where the bigger media, they keep it surface. You know, they keep it all surface. They're not intimate with the people.
Right.
So I formed this relationship, and I met the husband. Wow, he an amazing guy. I couldn't interview him because he does a lot of work with the Army. And so it's a security risk. People up there, it's very hard to get them to talk on video and even on the radio, even to give their name, because the social media, the Islam will track them down. It's a very serious matter. Now, it's not to say those folks don't have Facebook and everything else, but it's one thing to have social media. It's another to talk to someone who's very anti-Islamic, and I am. I say it openly. Muhammad was a bloodthirsty, child-raping, self-appointed false prophet, and we must fight against every Muslim. And along with that, when you tell the truth about what's happening here, it makes them a target. So, anyway, I was up there, amazing folks.
This family was living in Tel Aviv, and they left.
They left Tel Aviv because his wife said, honey, we can take the kids. It's a great area up there. We can raise them, teach them the land. He was a millionaire, sold his business, now makes picking baskets for farmers up there and even sells them in the United States.
Wow.
It's amazing. I just happen to walk in. I walk into places. I don't even know where I'm going. I just say, okay, what's in here? What's it behind this door? I just walk in. What's behind this door? And there's always something amazing. So I saw this woman sewing, hand sewing the material for these baskets. They're very detailed, and I put it on my Facebook page. And I'm like, what are you doing? She doesn't speak English. So she gets her boss, which is the head of security's wife. The wife said, my husband's the boss. The husband said, my wife's the boss. And so the wife is amazed. She brings her husband in. He said, look, I can't tell you my name, and then I'm the head of security. I shouldn't be saying all this. But anyway, they also make vests for free for the soldiers. These combat vests.
Wow.
Where they keep their ammunition, their handguns, their radio and everything all on the vest. So I loved it. And I said, I want you to make me one. And they're like, we only make them for the soldiers. But they made me a specialized vest where I could keep my pad in it and everything. It's great. You'll see the pictures on Facebook. Amazing people. So anyway, I spend my time up there. The commander of that area, I met him with the head of security for the kibbutz. The commander heard about Hershey's for Heroes.
Wow.
He actually, in fact, I said, I want to go to the hospital that the Israelis have for the Syrian refugees who come across the Israeli border that need medical help. The Israelis helped them. So I said, I want to go to this hospital. They were going to let me go to this hospital, the commander. He said, I've heard about Hershey's for Heroes. My soldiers talk about it. This is clear up in the north. I don't spend any time hardly up there. You know? So he made a radio call, was going to get me at the hospital, but at that very moment, that hospital had shut down for security reasons because of what had happened the night before. So now they're no longer helping anyone or giving anyone aid on the Syrian border. It's a risk. But I'll tell you, Iris, it was so refreshing. Refreshing. Because, look, it's not easy for me here. I don't complain. I'm not complaining. But it's not easy.
Of course.
But I'll tell you, when I hear a commander up in the north, the far north, the northern Golan, telling me my soldiers, they love Hershey's for Heroes.
Wow, amazing.
Yeehaw, that's all I got to say. So I leave the kibbutz. And, okay.
Anyway, when you're on the kibbutz, by the way, it's on the border, and then you can see all the area of Syria.
Right.
And when you got there to the view.
I've got some pictures.
Yeah, you bumped into a lot of...
And did some video, actually.
Minefields.
Minefields, right. There's minefields up there. Now, Israel doesn't use mines. Let me emphasize that. In fact, there's no countries really that use mines except for the Muslims. And during the Syrian-Lebanon war, during the war with Syria back in the day, back I think it was the Yom Kippur, I think.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
They put landmines on the border.
Yeah.
So the Israelis couldn't come across. And so those landmines are still there, and there are signs everywhere. It's a vast area. It's amazing. You can see from one end to the other. And that mountain range and that flat area right at the base of the mountains, you can see all these signs for landmines.
Right. And also you could see abandoned tanks there.
A lot of abandoned tanks. Now, what's amazing is, if you're looking from Syria over into Israel, all those old tanks sitting behind these big mounds, if you have binoculars, you would think there's a military presence there.
Right.
It's a good deception. They did right, but leaving those tanks there. Either they put them there or they left them there. It doesn't matter. But it would seriously, when I looked across there, I thought, wow, this is amazing. You would think there's a military presence. Now, there is a military presence, but when you see those tanks, you might be a little intimidated.
All right, you got back.
So, anyway, so I did some video up there showing all this, showing that in that same area, on the top of that hill is a, this is no secret, there's a huge base on top of this mountain. So I can understand how those guys, they can pick up on the communications of those Muslims they killed from Hezbollah and Iran right there on the border. So I come back, I've done my job, got some good interviews, posted them on Facebook and the social media. So then I realize I need to come back again because you can feel the tensions getting high. So I come back, now what's happening is at this time, you're laughing, you're hilarious here. What's happening at this time, Hezbollah and Iran said they're going to retaliate for their guys getting killed. So what's happening
is... they're going to make a revenge.
Now, and the key is, we have to understand this, the key is these guys were in Syria, okay, wanting to expand the war front. So Israel doesn't know if this attack is going to come from Syria or it's going to come from Lebanon.
Yeah.
So now they've got troops amassing, even more so,
And they kept threatening all this time, we're going to revenge Iran and Hezbollah, we're going to revenge in the time and in the place that we choose.
Good. Because it hurt their Muslim pride.
A week goes by, and on this Monday,
I went back to Kiryat Shmona, not knowing what's going
to
happen.
Exactly, you decide that you go back to the north. Something you have intention. Something is going to happen.
Just like Sukkot 10, when I first started going down there.
Okay.
And my mother was scared to death. Why are you going down there? And there really wasn't any. You didn't know if there would be any kind of invasion.
No.
But I knew, I could feel it. I knew something was happening just by talking to people and intuition and knowing the enemy. So I went up there, not expecting. I go, and I interview a guy named Shlomo.
You went to Kiryat Shmona first.
To Kiryat Shmona.
On the border with Lebanon.
On the border with Lebanon. I go back to Kiryat Shmona.
Yeah.
And I want to do some interviews up there. So I interview a guy named Shlomo. Just by mere circumstance, I meet this guy talking to people. He was a 25-year veteran of the IDF. Worked in Hebron on the border, worked on the Gaza border, worked on the Syrian border, worked on the Lebanon border. Now he's from Kiryat Shmona, he's retired. He has a little guest house there. And I do a video interview with him. So this guy loves Hershey's for Heroes. Loved it. And basically he said, look, because Kiryat Shmona is under 100,000 rockets from Lebanon, okay, that they're under that shadow, there's a constant threat there. So, interviewed this guy. He was actually on the United West. The United West. Look it up online. Tom Trento. TheUnitedWest.org. And we did an update, and Shlomo, the first thing he said was, he asked a question of Americans. Not trying to offend you, but why did you elect a Muslim president twice? Tom loved it. And so we were on the TV and on FM radio, and he's asking this question.
Wow.
So that's never going to be answered. But aside from that, Shlomo has a guest house. He said, my brother, what you do for our country and sending this message out, you can stay at my guest house for free. Let me stay for free.
Wow.
That was nice. Very nice of the man. I gave him 100 shekels for cleaning. But that's okay. He saved me a lot of money. So I go back to the kibbutz.
No, you sleep there.
I slept there, and then the next day,
you get up, you go to the city hall.
Right, I go to the city hall, and I walk right in. Now I'm fresh here, don't know anyone. Walk into the city hall, and this is who I am. I walk in, they see my shirt with Insight Israel in English and Hebrew, and they're like, who's this guy? So I tell them what I do. They're shocked. They are shocked that there's a guy coming in here that's pro-Israel.
Okay.
And so they actually allowed me. So they're wondering, who's this guy that's pro-Israel? So I showed him Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And it just so happens, a woman I spoke to, her son's in the army. He's in Golani, one of the special forces groups.
Wow.
And she said, Michael, we don't want war. We want peace. We want to live in peace. But we have no choice because they back us against the wall. If people could only see what we go through in Kiryat Shmona, the second Lebanon war, a lot of people died from the rockets coming from Hezbollah. This woman was about in tears. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know. No, I don't want to hear from Americans, you're going through such a tough time. You cry babies. You cry because you don't have enough milk in the refrigerator. You cry because your kid stubbed his toe because he can't have the latest cell phone. Get over yourself. I'm tired of the candies in my country. A bunch of candies giving your kids everything. Sissies. Suck it up and be a man. Be a woman. It's time to stand up against Islam, against the left. Pray for them. God needs to change them. But you're going to have to fight them. You might as well get it straight. You're going to have to fight these people. And this is going to be a physical fight. This is going to come a time. It's not going to be political anymore. It's going to be physical.
Okay, so this woman...
Anyway.
Introduced you.
So this woman took me... Like, she took me around. She said, look what this guy does. He's telling the truth about our country. But I got the it's always that question... What is your version of the truth, Michael? What is the truth to you? So when I told her, they were like shocked. So the mayor is not in town at that time. And so she actually gets on the phone, talks to one of the people that works for the mayor. They called the mayor. The mayor's like, yeah, I wish I could talk to this guy. But I'm not there. So I have this friend of mine who works in the local government. He's not an official spokesperson, but because they're friends and he knows, they actually sent a car for me to pick me up.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to take a taxi. He said, no need to take a taxi. We're going to take you over there. I was like, really? Wow. Ta-da. Wow, thank you. Anyway, so I sat down with this gentleman. The video's on Facebook. You can see it there. And I learned a lot, Iris. I learned a lot about what the people in Kiryat Shmona go through. It's unbelievable. The shadow that they live under every day. And those folks are strong. This is the Jewish state, and they're going to fight for their country no matter what. So in the second half, we're going to come back, and we're going to tell about what the people in Kiryat Shmona go through. Listen, give to Hershey's for Heroes. Give the Insight to Israel. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school.
While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security. And we're back. We actually went over a few seconds there. So, Iris, we're back. And, okay, so I'm in Kiryat Shmona. And the interesting thing I found in talking to this unofficial spokesperson for the mayor, a good friend of his, this man told me some things that were very serious. During the Second Lebanon War, there were a lot of rockets fired on Kiryat Shmona. The Second Lebanon War took place in 2006. There were a lot of rockets. Most of the rockets that were fired at Israel were fired at Kiryat Shmona. This town, after the Second Lebanon War, lost 75% of its residents because they couldn't take it. It's very hard to live there, especially with that shadow of 100,000 rockets. Can you imagine that? Living under the shadow of 100,000 rockets, the Jewish people in their own country, living under that shadow. I was shocked. I asked him, why did you come up here? He wasn't here then. He wasn't in Kiryat Shmona. And then he had another person with him, another gentleman that runs the youth center. And I said, because this is our land. And it's a much better quality of life for our families, even though we're under the shadow. At the end of the day, it's a better quality of life for our families. I was in shock.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's very beautiful up there. So we interviewed him. You can find the videos on my Facebook page. Then I moved on to the kibbutz in Zivan and went there. Actually, I got some great pictures. I was able to hand out Hershey's for Heroes to the soldiers, and those soldiers had heard of Hershey's for Heroes. Some of it hadn't. And many of them came up to me, and you'll see the picture on my Facebook page on Hershey's for Heroes. They came up to me and they said, listen, the commanders let me actually talk to them as to why the American people stand with the Israeli Defense Force in defense of this country, and here's why. Number one, the Bible's the truth. Number two, if it had not been for the Jewish people receiving Torah from Hashem, I'm making my point, then I would not have a constitution or a bill of rights. When you state those facts, they're in shock because they don't hear that. They do not hear that up here in this country. And those soldiers came up to me and they said, Michael, we're thankful for what you're doing. Thank you for helping us in the way that you do. And I want to thank Americans once again for supporting Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. So, anyway, moving forward, I moved on to the kibbutz in Zivan. I rode actually, or to the kibbutz
El Rom. In Zivan, you got your rest.
Yeah, in Zivan, I was just there during the day, but I actually rode with the guy that's the head of security from El Rom. He was actually in Zivan. He's friends. They had a meeting. They were preparing. All the kibbutzes in the area, the security heads were having a meeting, preparing with the military as to how to deal with a conflict that might take place on the Syrian border.
Yeah, and on this morning, the IDF was bombing Syria. No,
not yet. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
So I rode with the guy that runs security in El Rom that evening. Very nice people there. Actually, a couple that made Aliyah from the United States back in the 70s. Very nice. You'll see the pictures on Facebook. They allowed me to stay in their home and gave me a hot meal. But I only brought 2 days' worth of clothes. Now I'm getting ready to go on day three.
All right.
And they washed.
You were staying at the room at the night?
Yeah, and they washed my clothes for me, gave me a hot meal. I got up the next day, and so I'm in El Rom, and then that's when things really start to escalate on the Syrian and the Lebanon border.
At night?
That night, when I was sleeping.
At 2 o'clock at night.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes off. And I'm like, holy cow, I was on the phone. I was like, holy cow, I haven't heard that sound in a while. Now, the key to this is, understand, we're less than a mile from the Syrian border. That rocket's not going to take that long to get there. It's not like the Gaza where you have 15 seconds. You only have about 5 seconds. And that alarm went off and you could hear it.
It's not that in 15 seconds you can do something, okay?
Right.
It's not.
Very good point. So, that I don't know where the rockets landed, but they landed near Al-Ram again.
Yeah.
So the next day I get up, and that's when, right now, we're at the pinnacle of the battle on the Syrian and Lebanon border with Islam. And as you know, as I stated earlier, the troops were really starting to amass at this time up on those borders. So I'm actually doing updates with Tom Tarento, again, of the United West, which exposes what Islam is doing around the world and in the United States, infiltrating our government. And so we actually did an interview with them on Skype. At that time, around the same time, the Hezbollah had fired rockets from Lebanon while I was there in El-Ram.
But the IDF this morning kept bombing in Syria.
Right.
As a response to the rockets from Syria at
right.
night.
Actually, I was there, being there in El-Ram. Less than a mile from us, they closed down the roads. Artillery. I thought it was tanks, but I talked to some soldiers. They said no, that was artillery. In fact, it was actually the missile launchers on the back of trucks, and they were shooting into Syria, taking out key targets. At that same time, Hezbollah had fired some rockets from Lebanon and struck two vehicles.
Yeah, they launched it to a village which is called the Rajar. It's on the border with Lebanon, right on the bottom of the Hermon Mountain. It's actually a village on a road where residents are driving in this road. And they hit one house that got on fire, and they launched a lot of missiles, and two of them hit two vehicles of the IDF.
Yeah.
In one vehicle, there were two soldiers that were killed immediately.
And they thought it was four at one point.
Yeah, and they thought it was four because they hit actually two vehicles that were burned completely. But luckily, the other soldiers just managed to run away.
Yeah, when the first vehicle was hit that killed the two soldiers, the other two soldiers saw it, got out of the vehicle and ran, and that other truck was hit. Thank God for that. We thank God that those two soldiers were not killed. So keep in mind, if you can picture this while you're listening to this radio broadcast, I'm on the Syrian-Lebanon border is very close to each other, okay, in this area. So I'm on the Syrian border, close to Lebanon, but everything is taking place while there's artillery being fired at the Syrian border. At the same time, there's a big conflict on the Lebanon border in the farthest north region of the Golan Heights near Raj, the town that you talked about, where the soldiers were killed. So there's a... Iris, it's a lot. When you're trying to not only interview people, which they're scared to be interviewed because of the social media, and you hear a flurry of media all around about what's going on, it's a lot. It's a very, it's what they call the fog of war. It's a very confusing, serious time. And that's for the civilians up there. I'm just a guy up there reporting, you know, who doesn't live there. And these people, there were entire towns like Matula, which is in the most northern tip on the Syrian and Lebanon border, and all those people coming down through there from the south from there were told to stay in their homes. They couldn't leave. There were several incidents where the Muslims were crossing the border with bombs.
And they also evacuated the ski site.
Yeah, there's a ski resort.
Thousands of people
Thousands of people evacuated. So folks, you've got to understand that this is a very, very confusing. If it weren't for the military and how organized they were,
yeah,
people wouldn't know what to do up there.
Then you got the message that one of the soldiers that was killed is a relative of or a friend of your friend, a very close friend of you, of Zahava.
Zahava Englard, yes. Zahava's been on the radio show. Her son was actually in the same unit, and it was one of his best friends.
Yes, from Givati. So then you came back.
I came back, and what happened was...
Because you wanted to go the day after to the funeral.
Yeah,
in Jerusalem.
I was actually, you know, going to stay up in the north to see if any... Because at this point now, Israeli ships have moved into Lebanese waters. This thing looks like it's really going to escalate. But the Hezbollah says, okay, we don't want a confrontation.
Yeah, they delivered the message through
the United Nations.
United Nations, to Israel. From our point of view, the event is over. They're not yet prepared to the war.
Right, so. And you have to understand, and if you know anything about the Bible and about history in general, it's not always conducive to fight during the wintertime. Because up there in that area, it's very cold. It snows in a lot of the regions up there, a lot of the areas, cold, wet, and rainy. And it's not good for either side to want to go and try and have a war.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like, okay, Israel takes out these spies on the Syrian border. Lebanon and Iran want to make sure that they get their, you know,
reward.
So they kill two Israeli soldiers. And they know that, look, they know that Israel will strike back with a great deal of force. So they said, okay, it's enough. Now, that doesn't mean that things are going to go away.
Just for now.
Just for now. It means now they're changing their strategy and planning for more.
Of course.
So anyway, I, when I heard about these soldiers, I said, okay, I'm going to... I thought at first I was going to stay another night, but then I realized, okay, now I need to go to a funeral. So I came back that night. I got back at 2 in the morning on Thursday morning. Got up early. Went to Jerusalem. And sadly enough, I attended a funeral of a soldier. It was very sad. He left behind a wife and a soon-to-be child and another child that's already 1 year old.
Yeah.
We posted that information on Facebook, the videos of the funeral. It was very, very sad. And the amazing thing about the funerals here, unfortunately, thousands of people show up. Literally thousands. You have to understand, folks, these people have been oppressed, persecuted by the world.
In Israel, each soldier, we feel like it's one big family.
Yeah. And I, you know what? A lot of people have emailed, not a lot, but I've had a few people email me and say, you think Israel's perfect? And I say, you know what? It's not perfect, but I will tell you that in spite of your differences, and that's the way life is in this country, when it comes to standing together in a time of war, there's a unity that I have never seen like anywhere, even in the United States, because you fight for freedom every day, and it is a big family.
And another Hershey's was put on another grave.
Another Hershey's for Heroes was laid on another grave, and I want to say thank you to Julie Simone, who is in the U.S. military, who took the time, who's not Jewish, and wrote that note in Hebrew.
Yeah, I saw it.
She wrote the note in Hebrew.
Wow.
This is what people, the concern and care they have for the soldiers by taking the time to learn Hebrew and write the note on them.
Wow.
So I'm sure when that family gets it, they probably don't know how to read English much because the language here is Hebrew. And I'm sure it meant a lot to them when they saw that. I didn't put a Insight to Israel card on there. I just put the chocolate bar. And I'm sure that chocolate bar, seeing that note on there, meant a lot to that family.
Wow, yeah, it's very exciting.
It's a huge impact.
A huge impact.
So here we are, folks. I'm now, you know, they're still continuing to put the caution up in the north. Just because things are calm now, there will be. Iran wants their revenge, and they've already said it. They're going to do it again. It's a matter of when. And thank God for the Shabak, for the Mossad, and for the Israeli Defense Force.
Just a timeout, because just the day just after, on Thursday, already there was a terrorist guy that came from Gaza and was captured by the IDF near Kibbutz Sufa,
near
the border with Gaza, with some Molotovs and knives. And, you know, this is the routine.
Yeah, this is the routine of Islam, folks. Now, Iris, now that we've updated, and I hope everybody was able to get a clear picture of the situation up there. And if you haven't, go to the Facebook page, see the social media. We're going to move on to something else, which is very important, because all this, one thing affects another. It's a domino effect.
Iran is connected to the two subjects we are dealing now.
Exactly. We have now American taxpayer-funded groups from the from the Obama administration. We have an election coming up on March 16th.
In Israel.
In Israel, for the new prime minister.
And in the meantime, Obama is in the negotiation with the Iran about the agreement.
Now, let's start from this, Iris, because Bibi is actually going to go and speak before the Congress.
He got an invitation from the Congress.
From John Boehner, who's the Speaker of the House.
To speak about...
To talk about Iran.
Iran.
The White House is upset because Bibi is going, because they did not invite him. And so it's caused a big flurry in the media here. And
they did not invite him, and they don't want him to speak before the Congress, because Obama wants to present the Iran issue as a minority issue.
A minor issue.
There's no risk, and the agreement is very good. And the Congress knows that Bibi knows the best what is going with Iran,
right.
And he doesn't want to persuade him and convince him that there is no risk. He wants to hear the truth. So he just invites Bibi as an expert of Iran issue in order to get the right decision.
Right.
But Obama does not want it to happen.
Here's the key to this. Obama's doing this for two reasons. Number one, because he's a Muslim. That should be said. Number two, he doesn't so much care about his legacy, but he does, because that's all they talk about in the last term of the president, his legacy, what he does. Everything's political. It has nothing to do with the good of the country, you know.
He's just taking...
And he wants to be seen as the man who, on the surface, who dealt with Iran by himself, with no help from anyone else.
You have to understand, from the perspective of Israel, he is not considering our interest, Israel's interest, okay? Because if Iran, God forbid, will have a nuclear weapon, the direct state that will be threatened by it is Israel, and not so United States, okay?
Right.
And interest is a big interest to secure yourself, to take care of your interest against this agreement with Iran.
Right, and look, last year, Obama released billions of dollars from both frozen bank accounts to Iran, and he wants to not only ease the sanctions, he actually wants to lift them. So this is a conflict of interest with the security of the United States and, first and foremost, Israel. Now, the key to this is, not only is Bibi coming to speak, but there's an election coming up. Now, the media is playing this as if Bibi's trying to do this. And let me tell you, I've watched the media, the leftist media. I've watched Al Jazeera, the French media, CNN. They're all saying that Bibi's allowed this skirmish in the north to happen to make himself look good, that he's also going to make this speech to the Congress to make himself look good. It's all political.
Also, Fox News said it.
Unfortunately, Fox News has, which I have no... I don't have a lot of stock in Fox News anymore, and there's reasons why. If you want to know why, email me. But
Obama doesn't want Bibi to get any points from this speech with the Congress, because it will look good to the audience in Israel.
Right.
And so he rejected him visiting him while Bibi will be in the United States. And not just it, he also now sent a group of advertising
leftists
campaign expert
that worked for him.
Yeah, consultant that worked for him
in both of his campaigns in 2008 and 2012
to help the leftists in their campaign, and they're now making a campaign which is slogan is to change the regime.
Yeah, they want to dramatically change the politics here in Israel because they know if they get a leftist, if they have leftists, the majority of the leftists in the you have a parliamentary system basically in the Knesset, then they're saying that there will be peace. I'm going to put it that way, okay? Because all the leftists here in Israel, and there's, I wish there were fewer of them, they're saying that Bibi's policies in defending this country are causing the Muslims to want to attack you. And if you think about it, and if you watch the media, the Islamic media, they always say, whether it's the Muslims that killed the French Jews in France, they'll always say, you're hurting our people in other countries, you're fighting against Muslims in other countries, and you're helping the Zionists in Israel to oppress our Palestinian brothers. That's what they always say at the end. That's always said at the end. It's the Jews' fault. The Jews' fault. The Jews' fault. So Islam has a history of blaming the Jews for everything, like most everybody does, that's wicked. So Obama's sending these people here. They're here now. We're going to go to their offices.
Yeah.
You're going to hear this broadcast on Sunday, and on that very same day, we are actually going to be going to those offices. Everybody knows where they're at.
Yeah. Their group is called V15. As to
victory in 2015.
Yeah.
And so
And there are a lot of ads already on Facebook. You saw one?
Yes.
Which is called Changing the Regime.
Anything but Bibi.
And it is against the law.
Yes, because it's foreign money and foreign influence coming into this country. Americans coming to this country and trying to influence the outcome of an election. Well, let me say this. Let me say this. America, you're paying for this. This is your tax dollars that are paying for Americans to come and influence a democracy's election. This is very serious. You had better gear up and be ready to fight against your government that is trying to impose its will not only on you, but on a democracy, the only democracy in the Middle East.
And the way they're going to do it, they're going to knock on the door of
thousands
of people to convince the indifferent or those who didn't decide yet
who to vote for.
Yeah, who to vote.
It's bad. It's bad. It's very bad when the left.
And they're going to work a lot on the social media.
Yeah. So, Americans, you need to be aware that your freedoms, you need to fight against your government. And if you think, we're going to see what the Republicans are going to do. Because I'm going to be on the phone to them, Iris. I'm going to be on the phone and calling them, and we're going to video and post it on Facebook. Because they need to stop the money and the influence coming from the left and from the Obama administration in this country.
Just to make clear, the election here are on 17th on March.
17th of March.
On March. And the invitation to give a speech to the Congress is on the 3rd of March.
The 3rd of March.
Yeah.
So Americans, you need to keep track of this and be aware of it. You need to call your congressmen and your senators and tell them to stop. Now, right now, the Democrats are actually refraining from voting on the sanctions on Iran.
Yeah.
It just came out in the media the other day. And so, look, the Democrats lost. They were not mortally wounded, but they were wounded pretty bad in the last elections last year in October or November. And so at this point, they're going to do, the few that are in there now, they're going to do whatever they can to throw a wrench in anything that will bring America back from the brink, and especially when it comes to security. So, and when it comes to this country, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And I want to say, we've got a few minutes left in this broadcast, and we're at 23 minutes, almost 24, and we've got 29, so we have 4 minutes. Iris, how does it make you feel as an Israeli? as a citizen of your country, that you would have these people come in trying to change your country and influence it with money, with political pressure, with pressure from the media? How does that make you feel?
It's very sad that...
Come on, be forceful now. We need some force here. We need folks to know. I'm offended.
Okay. It's very sad. It's very sad that people from America come here and interfere the election in Israel. It's against the law. It's against the law because each party is entitled to have the campaign in in a specific amount of money by the law. And then come a group from America that twist the law and just they just declare that they just. Their campaign is just to encourage people to vote. Not matter to what kind of party. They think that we are stupid. They think the citizens of Israel are stupid. Everybody knows what they're coming for. And it's insult for the intelligence, it's insult for Israel, and they're interfering. And, you know, it makes you think that Obama wants to control Israel. He wants to control Israel government. He just put all his pressure against the will of the citizens. It's like it's supposed to be a democracy. Let the citizens of Israel vote.
Without outside influence.
Exactly. According to our interest, okay? So he just wants to control the election of Israel in order to control the government.
Right.
And to impose his interest, which is not Israel's interest.
No, because he wants Muslims to run the...
We have different Israel.
Right.
A different interest. The interest of Israel is to survive. And the interest of Obama, it's just... I don't know what his interest is. Just
you know what
peaceful...
Let me say it. In America, you need to hear this. We need to get tough. The right wing needs to get tough, and the Christians, you better take a stand. So I'm gonna tell you, you think for one second, you better forget this compassion and love stuff. I love people, and I'm compassionate. But I'm gonna tell you, you want to kill a Jew? You want to take away my freedom as an American? You better know, I'm ready to spill blood over this thing. I will not sit by as an American and just hope the next election solves this problem.
Steve Forbes just wrote today.
Steve Forbes did a great article.
Yeah, he wrote today a very beautiful sentence. He said, Bibi Netanyahu is like Churchill.
Winston Churchill
was warning the world before the Nazi regime came. And Bibi is now going to warn the world before Iranians will be with a lot of power.
Right. Look. Hey, listen, you know what I hate? I hate when I hear not all Muslims are bad. Well, hey, not all Nazis led them to the gas chambers, too. But they're all the same. They all have the same spirit and the wickedness. And if you don't drive Islam out of your country and stop the influence with the left that combines forces with them, you're going to be the next. You think Israel's got it bad? You wait till you have to deal with what the French are dealing with and the Europeans, because this country's been under the gun and now they're feeling... The rest of the world's feeling what you've been dealing with from Islam and from the left in this country. It's a very sad state of affairs here, Sparrow. And here's the thing. Let me say this, folks. I got a minute and a half left, and this is my radio show. I'll say that. And I know we're done. We're done talking. We're done with the issues. We've covered everything. I want to say I need you to support Insight to Israel. Because I had a soldier write a message, and it's on Facebook. You remember the patch he gave me off his uniform?
Yeah.
He said, Michael, thank you. I'm going to read it. I'm going to take the time here. We got a few seconds left.
It's from Golani. Yeah, you got a lot of messages, saddened messages from the soldier. It's amazing to read it, to read them. They really honor your job.
I'm going to read this with this soldier. This was very special to me because he gave me a patch from his uniform. I told him about Americans loving the soldiers and Hershey's for Heroes. And he gave me this patch, and here's what he wrote. I'm going to read it here. He said, his name is Joel Chantel. He said, he gave me this patch off his shoulder, off his uniform. He said, I was awarded this tag from the colonel in charge of my draft in Golani. He passed it down to me at the swearing ceremony at the Kotel, the Western Wall. It was the biggest honor given out. I was chosen out of 1,000 warriors. That's what he wrote, 1,000 warriors. I now pass this tag on to you to express my...